Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Talking Pylons. Hello, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Napolitano. Just leading things off. My week's been okay. I've been an invalid, but we'll get to that. Let's swing it over to the boys. The returning host, who wasn't on our last episode, but he's back now, Mark the Truth, Mark Levesque. How you doing? Oh, he's already ready to get into some NHL news. Oh, he's fired up. Might be a little bit of a battle going on here today in the chat, but we'll wait till we get to some NHL discussion. Mark Krasminski is our other co-host. How you doing over there, son?
Good. I'm still recovering from Vegas, but doing good. Still catch up on my sleep.
Very nice.
So,
were you guys able to hear him?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know why I wasn't, but sounds like you're good. We'll move it along. We have a very special guest today. Like I say that every weekend when we do this podcast. I am proud to bring back to the show one of my best friends. This man has been known as a modern day enforcer because he can hit, score, and even get ejected from games. He's quite the jokester, and he was just featured on our last episode. So please welcome back to the Talking Pylons, Jesse Schultz.
Yeah, glad to be back for the third time. They call that the
back to back.
So, we just interviewed you in the early episodes of this. Well, we just interviewed you last week, and interviewed you in the early episodes of this podcast about becoming the manager for the Jofa Dusters, who are still looking to take the ice very soon. But I didn't think we got a chance to talk about your rookie season playing with the Carolina Hurricanes or even your 2019 appearance as commentator. So since I have both 2019 commentators in the room here, walk me through your 2019 experience and getting to see what the game was all about and what the atmosphere was like, Jesse. And Mark, you can chime in on this too.
It was dog shit. No. Levesque here introduced me to it. I can't remember the context, but he like brought it up. I'm like, about the commentary and shit. And I was like, that sounds awesome. I mean, I love doing that shit for fun at like family parties when like people are playing like foosball. I'll do stupid commentary on that. So yeah, Mark got me into that. Didn't know what I was looking into because I was just new to it. Running nose.
No worries.
Got the AIDS.
Gotta make a pit stop. Don't worry.
I got it. Where was that? Yeah, am I getting to that? I didn't know where it was done. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know what to expect. When you were like talking about how like you like make it into like this big thing, fireworks, fake sponsors, which I'll get to that part. That was fun. And the commentary was like, okay, that's like a whole nother level, videotaping. So you get this whole different like atmosphere of like, it's not just a regular pickup game. It's, you know, it's a little more than that, a little more passion, involvement. And the first game, the commentary game, that was super fun. Get to be with Levesque over there, shoot the shit, just be ourselves, crack hella jokes, whether people liked them or not. So, I mean, we had a few on Ed's jokes, but I think they worked out pretty well in the end. Everyone at the end told us we did well. They loved our commentary, and especially the sponsors. That was fun getting to go around before the was it the night before or like an hour before?
It was an hour before we went around.
Yeah, we just went around. It's just making our own slogans for these sponsors. So. Be involved.
That's awesome. Yeah, what were you guys were some of the best announcers that the league has seen to date. So what were some of the best moments and maybe some of the best calls that you can remember between the two of you?
GoPro.
Jeez. I mean, the one where I remember that game was the last one before the new roster changes. So when Dom fell and he was on his knees, and I said, "Oh, look, Dom on his knees in his natural position." And I totally didn't know his parents were there. And like, I we just look over and they're like shooting me this eye. And it's like, well, I mean, it is what it is. I said it and we'll carry on from there. And cracked a couple more jokes about that as well. And they got a kick out of it at the end. So being able to make people laugh was probably the most fun part of it. The stupid slogans and jokes.
Mark, what were some of yours that you could remember?
GoPro, number one in home video.
Lovely, lovely.
GoPro, say no more.
Yeah. And just for the record, for those touchy people out there, I was not laughing at that previous joke that Jesse said. I'm not trying to get canceled by that community, but I really don't care. But we'll get into a little bit more touchy of subjects. There were some serious problems that same night, which must have been kind of a whirlwind for you, Jesse, after just being thrown into the squad and that game, all probably within that year. The public has heard my recount of the story, but take me through your experience that night and your recollection of the events that transpired.
That was a shit show of a night. Mark Levesque was with us. I mean, after the game, they practically left the place trashed, one, which was like not cool. They just like picked up their shit and just left. There was a lot of garbage still in me to, you know, be picked up and whatnot. I can't remember what like led up to the point where we got to the house to collect the cup and whatnot. But yeah, it got really heated. It got, you know, unfortunately, I think they pushed a woman like from, if I remember correctly, and it was a hot mess that unfortunately happened. And yeah, it was not a good night, unfortunately, after the game. But I'm sure it wasn't a good night overall, losing and then having everything else just tumble downward from there.
Yeah, but he's used to losing now, so it's fine.
I knew something like that was coming in there. I figured it'd be from the other Mark, though. But, not to rehash the past, but, I definitely wanted to get your perspective on those events because I know how you partially disagreed with me going into the house to get the cup that night, which I think is great. I think, you know, like in a squad, like you have to have people who have an unbiased opinion or even play devil's advocate or even just straight up have like differing opinions or views, just so that you're always, you know, staying on top. You're always evaluating your choices as a group and, you know, being right or so in the public's eye. There's always three sides to a story. And in this case, you know, the sides are our side, their side, and somewhere in between is the truth. And as much as people think that you're a biased source in this, I'd say, you know, you were more neutral, and you were somewhere along the lines of the truth because you were just kind of thrown into all this witnessing the damage that year. But moving out of the dark times, we don't want to hash on them for too long. You made your player debut in the SHL last year as a member of the Hurricanes. And that was huge. We didn't really win the game. I was waiting for somebody to rub that in. But what was it like to get the skates back on for the first time since probably your childhood, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Last time I put on some skates. But it felt great. I mean, I wasn't up to par like I am now. Oh, it felt so good. It was better than playing on streets like Mark and I would always play on something. Well, we played at Rainbow too, but it was more like street hockey with Mark and I. And it was nice to be involved. Like, I wanted to be a player after commentary, like right away. I was like, hey, is there a way I can like be on the team? And you're like, yeah, we'll work something. And that was awesome. I'm happy now I actually have my own gear instead of using your stuff. So it's like, I was just like, yeah, I was like a scrub ass using other people's equipment and getting back out there. It was fun, a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know how much playing time I got, but I mean, I enjoyed every damn second being out on the rink.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you did. You're always welcome to use my gear, though. I'm happy, just happy to get you out there in any way we can. And speaking of getting out there, you finished with one goal and one hit, one huge hit that we talked about last week. We could kind of go into it a little bit this episode, but before we do, what was the absolute best part of the 2020 game? It may very well be the hit.
Mine is the hit. I mean, it's got to be the hit. I mean, I try to do a little body work on Mark down there, but yeah, I just bounced off of that man. I was like, boom. I'm like, okay, this is not.
Like everyone does. Mike knows. Play a clip.
No. Not again. Not this episode. Yeah, absolutely. Well, since then, like you mentioned, you've gotten a new skates and a new twig. Kind of got to get a little spec check on you. It's a pair of Bauer RS inlines and a CCM P29, which is Crosby curve, 85 flex wood stick. Woo! This man's moving up in the world. Have you noticed a change in your game recently now that you're able to use both of those, whether it's, you know, the skates or the stick?
Oh, definitely. One is the skates. Fresh skates, fresh wheels. I was just gliding out there. It helped when I had a few beers that one night. I felt like I was unstoppable. But definitely skates were a huge improvement. Being able to be more mobile. I'm trying to get more comfortable skating backwards. I was testing that out the other night, that one night when we were playing, just trying to just turn, be more comfortable in the skates. And the stick is much different, especially with the curve. As you said, I had a cane, right? I started out with the cane and then switched over to Crosby, different curve, and still not used to it, to the stick yet, but I'll get there eventually with the more practice I've been getting in.
Absolutely. Give me one second, guys. I will cut this out of the video. I'm having like technical difficulties with these headphones. I don't know why. They keep cutting in and out. Can you guys hear me okay when I speak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You did it.
Okay. I just reconnected. Let's see if that does anything. But Jesus, I don't know what was going on. All right. Sorry, everybody. A little bit of technical difficulties. Oh. That's Jesse's stomach right there. That'll make the cut. What NHL player would you say that you try to model your game after?
Nobody.
Just going out there on your own?
JJ Watt.
JJ, yeah. Just throw a name. Please. No one, but I mean, my favorite player is Keith. I mean, Duncan Keith, he's always been my favorite player from Hawk as well. Just got the same mentality being a defender all my life during soccer with him. He's got, I call him the steel legs. That guy can just skate all damn night. And I call my legs German, the German steel legs, because I can just, no matter how exhausted I could be, I can just keep moving these bad boys. So if anything, I would be more relatable to Duncan Keith.
I would say the same if my legs actually worked half the time, but they don't. So no, I have pretty good endurance, but you know, I hit a breaking point because I push them too hard. But yeah, you're definitely much faster out there on these new skates and wheeling. Duncan Keith would be very proud. you know, I kind of want to go back. I know we already kind of talked about this, but when you were first growing up playing hockey, and since we have Mark Levesque in here, you guys played in the street together, right? And talk me a little bit about those days, and you know, were you guys on skates, and where were you playing, and whatnot?
It was always, we would play in front of the house, like right in front of the driveway. We didn't have a net to start, so we used like the little recycling bins.
Yeah.
Or even the big garbage cans when like garbage day happened, you know? So like that was our netting until we finally got one. I think his dad got it for us?
I think so. I think he garbage picked it, honestly.
He might have. Yeah, he might have. But I would always be on skates, and Mark was just always just on his feet. He'll throw on the goalie gear and play some goalie. So, but yeah, it was just like in front of the driveway type thing.
Yeah.
Now, talking about Mark possibly being a goalie, now this year, Mark will be commentating again. We have yet to hear who his commentating partner is going to be up on the stand this year. Ultimately, it's his choice, but, you know, if we find a pretty cool candidate. We've had on Hockey Montages, Matt Kaufman. I don't know if he'd be willing to come out and do that. He seems like he'd be more interested in the camera work since he makes some epic videos.
Does Mark's got live here?
He's in why am I drawing a blank on the Mundelein? He's up near like Lake Zurich, like where I work. You know, Mark's got a lot of friends too that would probably be willing to take the stand with him. But after his commentating career is over, Mark has told me that he wants to get the pads on and play in net. Let's hear from Mark first. How soon are you looking to make your debut and get training out there?
My man.
I mean, I don't need it. I just have to stand there. I don't really have to move. Half the net's gone. Like, there's not much training that has to happen. No, there is. I know I'm flexible, but I want to be able to, like, move a little bit quicker and read. Well, now you guys use a puck, so it's a little bit different. But I want to be able to read the puck. And, like, it's hard to watch the puck on that surface. I don't know. It depends because, quote, unquote, I'm not retiring until I win again. So – I kind of have to wait for you to win again before I can retire from commentating. So I might be there a while.
No. This is the last year, win or lose, but I'm not going to lose. So you'll be starting in net next year, and we can expect that. I know you're a huge Florida Panthers fan, and you would be ecstatic to play as the Panthers, but next year, 2022 game, we've already set is going to be an all Canadian matchup. So we don't have teams yet, but it'll be some Canadian team versus another one. So you'll have to wait. Maybe in your sophomore year, we can make you a goalie captain, because I'd be willing to make Marco Gomez a captain.
Is that Luongo? Luongo?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and we're going to get to Luongo. We already covered him last week. I'm sorry. I'm off my rocker, but we can make goalie captains one year, and then nobody has to worry about drafting a goalie. They just got to draft a team.
Yeah. Team's already got a goalie then.
But going over to Jesse, what did you expect out of Mark in net? Would you like to, first of all, would you rather be on his team? Do you think you'd rather face off against him, or what's your thought process here?
I want him behind my back. I want that man to stop those pucks. I know he can do it. That guy's a fucking beast. I trained him. He's going to do fantastic. He's going to put up those legendary numbers. Like, he's got it. I would have him as my goalie, hands down.
You were talking about your German legs of steel, but this man's got knees of steel. Nothing's getting past his knees. Not even concrete or ice. But what's that?
Nothing stands a chance.
Nothing stands a chance. Well, that is a teaser for 2022. I can't wait to get to see this man. He'll probably get out on the ice with us or on the concrete with us this year, but he won't be getting into the big game until 2022 at the very soonest. But no, we're not there yet. We still have a huge game this summer coming up. Jesse, what is your biggest goal in the 2021 game? And what can the fans expect from you?
I think did you ask this last week?
We kind of talked about this and what you were going to do.
Cool.
But.
Well, of course, every player is expecting to win that. That's it. And highest goal on that rink. For like a personal standpoint, I want, like I said last time, I want a hat trick. I want to go out there, get a hattie. I want to lay out a couple more bodies. Kevin, he's getting marked again. I don't know if Kevin's going to get another one or someone new, but there will be two hits this time. And we'll see who can pick themselves up after that hit.
Very nice. Jesse's out for blood this year. He's a shark, and he smells blood in the water. So all those New York Americans TV better watch out.
I know I can't. There's no way I'm getting marked. I'm just going to fucking just crumble.
Bounce off.
Crumble to his
That's
knees.
Right. We could both hit him.
Tag team it.
Exactly. Eiffel Tower. I mean, sorry. wrong game. Mark, this is 2 weeks in a row. We said we would never get Tani on the podcast, and here he is in the room next to you.
I know you're talking about. He's not here.
I saw him this time. You can't even give me none of that. Tani, I thought you were free tonight. I thought we were going to shoot some footage.
He just got off of work. He's not here. He had to go somewhere.
Ah, dude, we should film it tonight after we're done with the pod. We'll talk.
I got to get my suit dry cleaned.
Oh, dude, what?
I went to Vegas. You know how much fucking booze is covered? That didn't cover it?
So, even better. The viewers are getting some behind-the-scenes info that they don't need to get right now, but we'll keep your eyes posted, folks.
I smell like booze. I smell like booze the whole week.
Big things coming in the
future. You always do.
Thank you, but this was bad. Claudia smelled like it, too, and the Uber driver knew it, and so did the TSA. So did the airport.
First mention of a Claudia on this podcast. Let the viewers know. Come on, spill the beans.
My sister, you fucking weirdo.
Get out of here. No. Wow. Okay. Well, going back to some future talk, and no, I'm not talking about future Hendrix, real sisters. Get it? It all ties back because you said sister, and we were talking about the future, and he's got a song
club. Just have to
okay. Or whatever.
You like
yeah.
Penis.
Yeah.
You like penis. We know it. Just keep going.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I saw Mike put a doorknob in his butt, and I've never been the same since.
What? What? God, dude. No, I pray to God that never happens for those viewers out there. Jesus.
I don't know why you're laughing, Jesse. I saw you play the recorder with yours.
Whoa.
That's talent.
Honestly, yeah. Come on, why couldn't you have given me that one? I would have taken that one off.
You played the brown note the whole time.
What is that, a low B?
No, his was a high B, if you know what I mean.
Whoa, yikes.
Damn it, the hell.
Oh, my goodness. Well, back to me talking about the future, because this podcast Always is about me. This podcast is about me, you understand? It's me. Jesse. It's actually about you. We're still in the interview. Where do you see yourself in the league in the future? Do you see a C on your sweater? Do you see an A? Maybe a little bit more of an enforcer. Maybe if you are a Rafi Torres a little too much, then you get ejected from the league. But where do you see yourself?
I don't think I'll be ejected from this league.
This league.
This one.
This yes. league.
Oh, yeah, definitely see myself as a captain, future captain. I've always had leadership in my veins. But back in high school, definitely. I wasn't captain, but, I mean, I'm vocal. I can lead a team. I've done it before. And hopefully in the future I can lead another team or two at least before hanging up the skates.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, You did mention you've been kicked out of a league. So just real quick, do we even want to talk about that? It's not hockey related, but it's soccer. Jesse has played in a couple of men's leagues here in Schaumburg. And did you want to state your case, sir? what happened and what got you kicked out of SAA men's league?
Yeah, just a good old another referee abusing his powers. I don't recall guilty. Why a yellow card, like the first yellow card.
Didn't he go straight to red?
No, I had a yellow card earlier in the game, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So then, yeah, later in the game, the ref blew the whistle when it was a foul on our team, but there was an advantage, and I was going in on net, and he blew it. And of course, I was running my mouth and all that. And he's like, oh, stop it, shut your mouth. So I did. So then I just turned to the other team, and I was just like, only in Sunday league. And then that's when he decided to go for another card and kick me out of the game. And then I approached him, and our stomachs touched. And I had been charged with whatever, and I was like, no, but – so stupid. It was blown up.
He was trying to say that you assaulted him, and it's like, bro, you both walked towards each other and then didn't stop, and then stomachs touched. Like,
oh, really, bro? Like, come on. Like,
dude, what? You upset his Sunday chicken dinner, bro. He was upset. His mom made that for him. I don't know, actually, with how old he is. Rest in peace, his mom. My God. Some of those refs. I'm a soccer ref myself, but
it's yeah, fellow okay. Soccer refs.
Get out of here.
This is a hockey podcast.
Well, Jesse, we expect some big things from you, and we'll be happy to keep you on this podcast as we get into some NHL news. But before we do that, I just want to let everybody know that Talking Pylons is brought to you by Anchor. Can you guys tell I didn't have the ad pulled up? I was so bad in the beginning of that. I was improvising from what I knew, but I read it every week. So it's all right. It's all good. But NHL news, and I do want to get to the elephant in the room. And no, I'm not talking about Jesse's stomach bumping that other ref, but that is quite the stampede. Boys and girls, because I don't know what Mark has on his glasses right there, but he might be switching on me. Caps versus Rangers. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to go through the basic facts real quick and then we can give our opinions. I believe it was Monday night of last week. Tom Wilson, there was a scrum in front of the net. I know a lot of different podcasts have covered this. Buchnevich was on the ground in front of the net. Apparently, I haven't seen this in the video, but I will post the video in this. Apparently, his leg came up and clipped the goaltender, the Capitals goaltender. So Tom Wilson came over, of course, to defend his goaltender and gave Buchnevich a shove. Now, it looked like the shove was in the head. I was very upset about this. I have since seen footage otherwise. It shows Tom Wilson shoved him in the shoulder and the guy's head just kind of, you know, your shoulder moves with your head. It hit the ice. I still think it was a little vicious. I thought that was the more vicious attack than the Panarin situation. And I will get to that in a second, but you know, upon further review, you know, I could see how the Panarin incident is way more violent. So the Panarin thing was Tom Wilson got up and the Rangers were still jawing at him. Strom went in there, Ryan Strom, to try to break things up, and he got kind of ragdolled off by Wilson. And then Artemi Panarin went in. I don't know if we talked about this last podcast when we had Kevin on, but Panarin grabs onto Wilson. Now, Wilson's 220. I believe he's 6'1". I could be wrong about that. I did look up his stats. 6'2", yeah. That sounds about right. Panarin's obviously much smaller than that. He's a goal scorer. His helmet comes off, and Wilson in the scrum, he's wrestling around with Panarin. grabs Panarin by the hair and throws him down to the ice. And now Panarin, his head hits the ice hard, but he does get up and try to go back after Wilson. And then Wilson does just the same thing. He's just ragdolling Panarin. That, and I've heard two very opposite sides of the spectrum of what this deserved, but what it got was Wilson a fine of $5,000. The Rangers then put out a statement that said that they were displeased with George Parros' decision to only fine Wilson after some violent acts. They said Artemi Panarin would no longer play for the rest of the season for them, which wasn't much because the Rangers aren't making the playoffs and they only had a few more games. But regardless, you know, you don't want to see a guy injured like that. So the Rangers were then fined by the league $250K for their comments. Now, that's chump change to the Rangers. They're the richest team in the league. But I don't know. What do we think about this, guys? Levesque, let's go to you.
What do you think would happen if you try to fight a bear? You're going to get hurt. Don't be stupid. You knew the situation. You knew he was mad. Why would you try to attack him? Like, you're not the type of player to do that. So, like, I'm not going to say it's all on him because it's in the moment, but, like, you do dumb shit. You expect dumb results.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Wilson should have gotten any kind of a suspension for what happened, though?
Yeah.
Get a game or...
You're also – you're a professional player. Like, you should know in certain situations not to be – the one giving the dumb results. Like, granted, him trying to fight Panarin, like, that's fine, but you threw him down once, leave it at that. Like, yeah. When he came back at you again, you should have just tried to, like, wrestle him down rather than ragdoll him around.
Well, hair pulling is such a pussy maneuver anyway. Yeah. Like, remember back when Hawks and I think Vancouver in the playoffs were playing and Duncan Keith was getting his hair yanked? Oh, it's yeah. Like, that's, mm-hmm. that's a pussy play. Women do that shit.
Yeah, because typically their hair's a lot longer. But yeah, I definitely see that. Krasminski, what's your take on this as far as Wilson goes?
I hate the guy. I think he's a piece of scum, piece of shit. I mean, the enforcer roles, it's in the NHL, gone. But it's gone. I mean, you want a guy who can fight but still fucking play. Wilson is just that. I mean, honestly, you can argue he should be suspended for the rest of the season. When he took Panarin and sent him down into the ice, that's intent to injure. You can be a charge with assault for that at some point, you know, where the fine line hit comes and ends. I don't know where to say, but that's just, you don't do that. You let him get up and fight him, Wilson. He's fucking your fucking whole foot bigger than him. That's fucking pussy. Like, I just think it was wrong. I think he should be fined more than fucking $50,000. I think you should just put the biggest price tag on him because is this his first offense? Shit, he's consistent. Fuck his big. You know, Wilson, fuck you. You're not going to be able to play for the rest of the season, even the playoffs. I'd be like, that's it. I mean, you if you hurt him badly, okay, yeah. But I was also watching a video of this old-time enforcer. And what he said, he was like, yeah, if that happened, if I was on the Rangers, he's like, I would have dumped the puck in so the goalie can come out. And he's like, I would have hit the goalie.
Oh, that was Sean Avery.
Yeah, thank you. And he's like, I would have hit the goalie so fucking hard he never would have got up. Because he's like, you have to know actions come to consequences. And that's the best consequence is fucking injuring the goalie. Like, I would have taken my stick and hit fucking Wilson in the fucking knee. I'd be like, fuck you. You don't do that to our star player. Guy who's fucking put up numbers like that. But no, I think he should be suspended for the rest of the season. Don't see any playoff time, nothing.
There's a lot of different angles of this, and they've been covered by a lot of different podcasts and analysts throughout the week, a lot of different opinions. I think when John Scott is even saying that this is a dick move, and going back to what Jesse said about, you know, him having like, you know, a pussy move to grab the hair, we're talking about Tom Wilson. He's a guy who claims to be an enforcer, but won't fight Ryan Reeves in the Stanley Cup final in, was it 2018 that the Caps played the Knights? Like, if you're an enforcer, you should answer the bell. You should always answer the bell. And they were talking about that on Spit and Chicklets with their guest that they had on, Chris Nylon, big time enforcer back in the 80s. And he was saying that he was kind of on the side of Wilson, and they kind of were too. Wit and Biz were both saying that they were like, oh, you know, they think it's great for the game and That's the role you're stepping into. You know what you're getting into, kind of along the lines of what Mark Levesque said. You know what you're getting into. My take on it, yes, Panarin knew what he was getting into when he's going to get Wilson. But what are you going to do? Let your teammates get pushed around like that? Like, there's nobody big enough to be a bully to fight Wilson back. The Rangers had that guy in Brendan Lemieux, and they traded him away. So the Rangers have a lot of small, fast, speedy, skilled guys. So nobody's going to be able to touch Wilson. I definitely agree with what Sean Avery said, which is, all right, if you can't go back after Wilson, show him that there's going to be other consequences. You go back after a goalie. If the NHL is going to allow dirty crap like this to go on, then fine. Hey, dump the puck in, lay out the goalie, make him have to take it, get taken out on a stretcher. Like, if the NHL, if this is what you want to happen, and you're saying that this type of incident doesn't deserve a suspension, then you're opening the door to a lot of other stuff. And you're saying it's okay to do these things. And they kind of talked about that on the Clap Bomb podcast. I was listening to that earlier this week, and they were saying that no suspension on this Wilson issue opens the door and lets other players know that, hey, this is acceptable. And really, it shouldn't be. But
it shouldn't be, and it opens the door. But also, have to look at it this way. Like, they suspend other players for this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why is he not getting suspended? Like, it doesn't really open the door.
There wasn't consistency. And one of the issues was Wilson's last highly suspendable play happened a certain number of calendar days ago that it didn't warrant even a one game suspension. Technically, he was not a repeat offender. He had a hit on, we talked about it on this podcast. Was it Carlo on Boston? He hit him from behind into the glass and got suspended for it. So I don't know what the ruling is on why he couldn't have been suspended again, why he wasn't technically a repeat offender when his last suspension was only a month or a couple of weeks ago. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Fining him $5K, that's the maximum you could fine a player. That was ridiculous. Part of me says that the league did this for views and for ratings because they knew that these two teams were going to meet again 2 days later, like the schedules are this year. And if you suspend, like if the league wanted to hit him with any kind of suspension in a normal year, they would have said, okay, yeah, they're not playing each other right away back to back again, probably. You know, the Rangers are going to play other teams. The Caps are going to play other teams in the meantime. And then when they come back, that's when the revenge game will happen. But this year, because teams are staying and playing in like series, the next game was 2 nights later. So what are you going to do? Let him play in the next game and then say, oh, he has to serve his suspension later. So the league maybe wanted to give the Caps their opportunity, or I'm sorry, the Rangers their opportunity to respond. But that's not good either. Like you can't be a league and say, oh, we're going to give them the opportunity to retaliate, because what happened? Buchnevich, the guy who was originally on the ground getting his face shoved into the ice, cross-checks Anthony Mantha, which I think is a play similar to the one that Sean Avery was talking about, which was dump the puck in and lay the goalie out. You know, you're not going to go after Wilson. He's the big guy. So you're going to go after somebody else. Now the Buchnevich play, I'm not saying is defendable. That was deplorable as well. He cross-checked Mantha in the face, and that was vicious and violent and definitely deserved that one-game suspension and that $5K fine. However, that doesn't mean that Wilson's is off the table. I think Wilson should be out of the league. I've said this before, I'm not typically a snowflake about these things. I think fighting belongs in the game. I think the enforcer role still has meaning. A lot of the enforcers these days are also goal scorers and have other value to them. So they're a versatile, more than one dimension player. They're not just that enforcer that you think of when you think classic old time hockey. I think that's what Wilson can be. He's proven it. He can score goals. He can assist. He's a pretty fast player for a big guy, but this wasn't hockey. That wasn't hockey. And I know some people that I talked to that were like, oh, I loved it. And you know, the ratings were so much higher for that next game, which I'll get into that next game now. Right before the next game, John Davidson and Jeff Gorton, the president and assistant general manager of the Rangers, were fired for those comments. James Dolan owns that team. And if anybody knows anything about James Dolan, he owns, is it the Knicks? Yeah, he owns the Knicks. He takes a laissez-faire approach with the Rangers. He doesn't touch them because he doesn't know much about hockey. He just owns the team. He lets everybody else run the show. He touches basketball a lot, and that's why the Knicks suck, basically.
Long Knicks story are short. Pretty good this year.
Are they?
Yeah, they're hooping. They're doing really well.
Typically, they're a pretty bad team, which is why James Dolan gets blamed for a lot of that. And now all of a sudden, he's stepping in to make moves with the Rangers. Now, John Davidson and Jeff Gorton, these two guys came out a couple of years ago with a statement for the Rangers that said, we're in a rebuild. It's going to take time. That rebuild, despite Lafreniere being a bit of a bust, and by bit, I mean quite a bit, they got Kako Kapo, Artemi Panarin. They don't have Jesper Foss still. Who am I thinking of? Who's the other young, quick kid?
Bless you.
Philippe.
Thank What's you.
It? Oh, but I mean, oh, Adam Fox. That's what I'm thinking of. The really good young defenseman. This, not even to mention their goalie, Shesterkin. Rangers team is rebuilding faster than anticipated, which means these front office guys are doing a great job. And then they come out with one statement defending their team and they get canned for it. I understand they brought up George Parros, the head of NHL player safety, and they called him out in their statement, but they did it as respectfully, but to get their point across as they possibly could. And the NHL didn't like it. And their own owner fired them. That's ridiculous to me.
Think how about else, it from keep going.
How else do you want your GMs and such to talk to you then, NHL, when something like this doesn't happen? I don't know.
I mean, I think about it this way, because with what Mark and I said, with the Knicks playing good and the owner being part of the reason why they got the rebuild that they did for the Knicks and how all the players are falling into place, it's the same thing with the Rangers. But maybe they were just looking for a way to get rid of those GMs and stuff like that to bring in new ones to finish the rebuild. And that was their one piece that they had that they could be like, all right, we're firing.
That was their scapegoat. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there was talk that you know, they were thinking about getting rid of these guys beforehand, but regardless of those comments, and yeah, they kind of made that their scapegoat. But even then, I mean, a lot of eyebrows are raised. And when this many eyebrows are raised and a decision like that happens that quickly after that statement was made, you could just kind of see through the little white lie about, oh, we had plans to fire these guys. And why would you have plans to fire these guys if they're doing so good? I see your point on that, but like, they're not quite out of that rebuild stage yet. They're obviously not making the playoffs this year. I think they should have held on to these guys. And just because of what seems like one statement and they're canned, Chris Drury will take on both positions now. I don't know if he was already with the organization or if he got hired on right after the fact. I believe he would have already been in the front office, but you know, and to do that mid season, now your top goal scorer is out. I also see this from an investment point of view. You spend $11 million a year on Panarin and all of a sudden he's hurt. And I'm not saying that this is going to end his career. I think it's very far from that, but it could have. I know Spit and Chicklets said we don't suspend or fine for the could haves. We suspend and fine for what actually happened. But if you, like I said before, if you're allowing this type of behavior to go on, next time it might not be a could have. Next time it might be a guy split his head open on the ice on something that was not a hockey play. And I'm not for it. I've never been a Wilson fan, not because I thought he was dirty before. I just, you know, he's the guy you love to hate when he's not on your team, but any GM in the league would want him on your team. I understand that, but
it's a waste of cap space.
This was no pun intended.
There's there's so many good enforcers you can get, like
Ryan Reeves.
And he fucking produces.
And he answers the bell. And I don't believe he would ever do something like this. Now, no. Dustin Bufflin's ragdolled some people around. There's that famous clip of him holding both Nashville Predators at the same time. Yeah. But, like, the thing is he's not.
He holds his own, too. Injury.
Yeah, and he's not going to do something this dirty, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to stay on this for too much longer. But the second game, you knew what was coming. They did it, in my opinion, for ratings. Everybody knew that there was going to be a retaliation and a lot of bells were going to get answered. It was a Donnybrook. It was a gong show. Three fights right off the start of the faceoff. Haven't seen that since a while back. And I believe that one was also at Madison Square Garden that happened.
Man, that's a show right there.
I believe it was Rangers and Flyers MSG. Way back when. I don't remember. Yeah, fight night at MSG. I don't believe I know what the issue was in that Flyers and Rangers one, but I believe it was like an all team fight, and Patrick Sharp was on the Flyers at the time, which is why I remember that clip. But I haven't been able to pull it up this week. But yeah, something you hadn't seen in a while. That whole first period, there were just a million penalties. I didn't count them, but you could just go through the game notes and it was fighting, 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 holding, holding, fighting, slashing, holding, fighting, fighting, fighting. I was like, what is going on here? And of course, like I said, Buchnevich had a cross check in that game. Georges Laraque, former, I think he played in the NHL for a brief stint, enforcer. He sent out a tweet that said at New York Rangers, sign me for one game and let me take care of Tom Wilson. And I was like, please, please do this. Somebody please do this. But a lot of people want their crack at Tom Wilson. Hey, maybe the Paul brothers will want to fight him. I hate them so much.
All I know is I'll take money out on Logan Paul to win because the fucking payout would be insane. The odds came out. I mean, they're not still finalized, but the odds came out when I say Logan Paul was at plus 2,000. The draw was at plus 1,600. And Floyd Mayweather was at minus 100,000. You would have to bet $100,000 just to win
Yeah, oh my God. Yikes. Yeah, hey, it's a win for Logan because of the fact that he's even getting to step up on this stage and into the ring with somebody like Mayweather.
He's such a pussy. Like, fight Canelo. I want to see Canelo Mayweather too, because Canelo, I'm saying now,
he's taking this for the money.
Canelo's the best fighter. Canelo is 10 times better than
Logan
Mayweather. I mean, we have our boxing expert here.
There you go. We'll have to save that for the gambling corner. But the one last note I wanted to talk about that second Rangers-Caps game, which was the best note by far, TJ Oshie scored a hat trick for his dad. Now, his dad, even back when TJ Oshie won the cup in 2018, was battling some early onset like Alzheimer's or dementia. He was in an interview and he said, you know, my dad doesn't – he was breaking down. He said, you know, my dad doesn't remember a lot these days, but he'll remember this night for the rest of his life. And that struck a chord with anybody. If it didn't strike a chord with you, you don't have a heart. Or maybe you just have no dad. I don't know. Daddy issues. But yeah. Dad?
That's Mark.
That's Mark over here. I guess he's over here on this side. I don't know. I don't know how the
diagonal. He's right there for me.
Yeah. He's right below you. We'll just go with your finger.
Give me a kiss, Mark. I don't have daddy issues.
Mark, give me a kiss. Look up and kiss.
Oh my God. But TJ Oshie, he scored a hat trick for his dad who had passed away just before that game. Tough night for him, and his teammates consoled him. Some of his teammates were saying that, you know, they were looking out for him, and really he looked out for them, because when everybody else was busy dropping the gloves in that game and beating the crap out of each other, he was making sure that they still came out with the W, and he put up 3 goals to get that win. So you know, TJ Oshie, you know, you definitely don't watch this podcast, but hope you're doing better, and you know, congrats on the hat trick. Moving along, getting out of the East, the biggest news other than all the Tom Wilson stuff, Connor McDavid has reached 100 points in 53 games. And actually, as we speak right now, it's 102 points in, I believe, 54 games. So he's one of nine NHLers to do that. It's a shortened season. A lot of people were saying that he was going to do this even before the season started. I don't know how you predicted that, That's some crazy predictions considering, I mean, I know he gets around 110, 115, maybe even 120 points in a 182 game season, but that, you know, if it's an 82 game season and you're saying he's going to double in points, that's 160. We have a 56 game season. That would have been 112. Like, the fact that even people were saying 12 less than that, 100 is crazy, but he did it because he's Connor McDavid. Now, we talked about this last podcast that it's because he's in the North. I kind of have to disagree. I think he'd be doing this no matter where, because he's proven he could put up these numbers even against American teams. Regardless of how you feel about this, this is quite the feat. I know we got Mark Krasinski's take on that, and that was kind of the take that I was saying, how, you know, he's doing it because he's in the North. So we'll bounce it over to Mark the Truth, Mark Levesque. What do you think about McDavid?
I mean, it's pretty amazing. You broke down the math. I don't understand math. I just know it's a lot of fucking points. But does it make his team any better? Not really.
That is what we will have to see. Now, I wanted to get into this a little bit later when we talk about our playoff predictions, but they came out with the odds of each team to make or to win the Stanley Cup, all the playoff teams. And the Edmonton Oilers are pretty low on that list. They had the Canadian teams highlighted. So the only team coming out of Canada for most people's predictions is Toronto, rightfully so. I still think Edmonton lacks that depth. When it comes to playoff time, it's going to be all on McDavid and Draisaitl, and can they perform is the question. Speaking of performing, John Tortorella is the winningest coach in Columbus Blue Jackets history, yet he will not come back to the team next year. There's 1,000 issues we can go into with this. We've talked about them over the season, about how, you know, he sits players and he doesn't, you know, do what needs to be done maybe with his star players. But let's go over to our Line A expert, because, you know, that's Columbus these days. Mark Krasinski, what do we feel about Tortorella leaving Columbus? And where does he go after that?
So, I don't know. Him leaving Columbus is – it's. I mean, I feel like it was going to happen. They're not winning. First of all, Line A, the lane, he's, I think, overrated at this point. Fuck. But no, I think they're getting rid of him because they just see, I think really they have a solid team. I mean, we see them play. They're very on off. They win, they lose, but when they're on, they're on. But I still think Johnny T does that for this team. I think they need a coach that the perfect fit. Where does he go? Sorry, Mark. What are you saying?
I think that team needs a player coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who knows. Coach. Yeah. Someone kind of lets them do their thing a little bit and not such as a hard ass and trying to prove a point all the time. Where does he go? Everyone's saying Buffalo. Buffalo's not going to – no, I don't think Buffalo's going to take him. I mean, there's some teams that might take him. The Devils, that's a viable place. He might go to the North, Vancouver, Winnipeg. But no.
Seattle.
Yes, no, Seattle did. Yeah, but I don't think Seattle will take him because he's just so, I don't know. I think he's not a toxic coach, but he's like a coach that's like.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
he's the coach you like. Yeah, but I don't think it's Buffalo. I would say, if anything, the Devils might pick him up, but.
Yeah, no, the coach that might actually go to Seattle is Coyotes former coach, Rick Tocchet, GM. I don't know what kind of role he would take on in Seattle. If it would be the GM role or the coaching role.
Is there anything in there?
The Coyotes parted ways with him, I guess, mutually. I could see him going there. I wanted to go back to Columbus real quick. Line said that he does want to stay in Columbus. He likes it there, which from what we've heard from previous big name stars, nobody wants to stay in Columbus. So this is good. This is good news for the Blue Jackets that they want somebody to stay there. Will help them in the future. I don't know. I think they've got some real big retooling to go through. And if they don't do it right, it could be rebuilding and not retooling. So, and Coyotes are in that same position. So I'm interested to see who ends up coaching them. I don't think it would be Tortorella. I think, like you said, he's just too much of that hard ass kind of a coach. He gets the results, but I don't think he's the type of coach that you leave in there long term, because like in Columbus, the guys get tired of him and he's done, and nobody was really listening to him.
I mean he might be a good coach to build to get those young guys in, but then you move them on. Like, watch Columbus next year have, you know, place top three on it. Well, not top three, but, you know, have a better record than this year, you know. Get 60, yeah. You know, 60, 65 plus points next season, because they bring a coach in who's going to let those guys do their thing. And, well, not honestly, no, because they lost some of their big names. So I'm not.
Well, they have to re-sign Seth Jones. And if they don't, you can bet Zach Arensky is going to want to walk after next year. I mean, doesn't have him on the blue line with him, I mean, what?
They already lost two big names. You lose the boys and then the Foligno.
Yeah. So they were big sellers. They got some draft picks, so maybe they'll do something with that. It's not the best draft year, to be honest, but Connor Bedard is coming soon. He's only 15 right now, so they're already talking about.
You're their first bust. Watch it.
He won't be shit.
I don't think so, dude. He's posting better numbers than Connor McDavid.
Was the last time a number one pick was good?
Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. Okay. Or who was after Connor?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because Matthews was before Connor, right?
Yeah. Was Eichel first?
We're going to make you do research first? Halfway through the podcast. First round picks.
I'm trying to think, who was 2 years ago?
I don't even know where I was.
So this year was Alexis Lafreniere. Bust. 2019 was Jack Hughes. I won't say Jack Hughes is a bust. Maybe a little bit of a slow start, you know, for a center. But he's not the biggest center, and he's in a shit spot. And they're not building around him. They're getting P.K. Subban, who has not been the P.K. Subban that we all know and love for a while.
Yeah, so
2018 was Rasmus Dahlin. That one's also hard to judge because it's Buffalo. He went to Buffalo. Like, Buffalo ruined him.
So far,
he's a bust.
Yeah.
Nico Hischier, New Jersey Devils. Okay, that one you could maybe kind of make an argument. I haven't heard a lot of him. Oh, Matthews was after McDavid. So Matthews was the last one that wasn't a complete and utter bust. And McDavid was before that. Aaron Ekblad was before that. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Leslie. And then Nathan MacKinnon before that. So you had four or five great years in a row of first-round draft picks. I think it's
time. He won't be good.
Yeah. I think
Bedard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but I'm bad to say.
I think Bedard's going to be phenomenal. He's already posting better numbers than Connor McDavid did in those leagues. So I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Connor McDavid like everybody's saying. I mean, that transition has still yet to be seen. And that'll come with time, but I definitely think he's going to be up there like a MacKinnon or Crosby. Who knows? But moving right along, Pat Maroon was suspended one game for unsportsmanlike conduct against Florida. Mark, you probably saw this. It's been getting heated in the Battle of Florida leading into the playoffs. These two teams know that they're going to be playing each other. We're going to be getting into that real soon. Pat Maroon, I guess, something was said. I guess, I don't know who it was that he went back after, but he called him Fat Pat, and that struck a chord, and Maroon went off the handle, and the refs were already separating them. So, you know, once the refs get involved, you really can't go back at somebody. Otherwise, it's sussy time. And Pat Maroon did just that, and he kind of ripped the ref out of this guy's like protection. And so, of course, you're going to get a suspension for that when the officials get involved. Tampa Bay made some good news, though. Oh, yeah. Jesse would definitely know. Tampa Bay made some really good headlines. We talked about an all-black line in the AHL a couple months ago when we had hockey montages on, and he corrected me. So this time I'm going to get my facts right. Tampa Bay had Matthew Joseph, Daniel Walcott, and Jamel Smith. Boom, baby. That's right. I got all three names right this time. I'm coming up in the game. All black line, first time that's ever happened in the NHL. It was a sight to see. As Mark Kruszminski would ask, how did they do? They did pretty well, but overall, Tampa Bay lost that game because Florida won 4-0, and Florida looks like a wagon. So as a secondary Tampa Bay Lightning fan, I am scared because this secondary Florida Panthers fan has kind of got the edge going into playoffs. Like I said, we'll get into that in just a second. Tim Stutzel, Jimmy Stu over in Ottawa. Ottawa's playing their last couple games before, once again, they missed the playoffs. But Tim Stutzel got his first NHL hat trick. He is definitely not a bust. And because of the fact that there is no fans still in Canadian arenas.
I was wondering if you were going to talk about that.
Yeah, Jimmy Stu got a shower full of baseball caps from the kids that were in his backyard. Let me actually pull up the video right now while we talk about it.
Oh, this is nice.
Jesse, what do you think?
Why does he have little kids in his backyard, weirdo?
They came to his house.
I know. I know. Honestly.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Kruszminski, did you get a chance to see this?
Yeah, that was cool. I'm like, guys, I'm not fucking cleaning this up. I would open my gate, be like, pick these fucking up. Do you think you fucking think we need these hats? Like, I'm fucking, fuck you. I go, what the fuck, guys?
Look at this comment right here. Guy is frying eggs at 9 a.m. and now has to clean up 60 lids. Yikes.
Wait. Oh, wait. I think there was a kid in the front. I think he couldn't get it over the fence.
Oh, yeah. I see the yellow hat right there.
Wait, hold on. Play from the beginning again.
It's Instagram. I got to wait now.
Just hit X and press it again.
Oh, my God.
Goddamn commie.
Now we're going to give away all the other videos that we were going to show.
Hold on. Where's the little kid? Oh, yeah, some kid threw it, hit the fence.
Oh, yeah, the one right here.
He picks it up and he throws it again.
He missed again. He missed. Oh, no.
Yeah, he gets it. Then he picks up another one he dropped. He gets it over.
Barely. You know, that kid's not an outfielder. Yikes.
That kid's going to have to deal with that the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I go out with you? Have I seen you before? I was in that video where I was throwing hats to Jimmy Stu, and I was the one in front that couldn't get the hat over. Oh, sorry, you can't go to prom with me. I'm already going with the kid that was standing next to you who actually got his hat over. So, how do you like my girl voice?
You could definitely be a crossdresser.
I don't know if that's politically correct anymore, and I don't want to be.
Yeah, it is.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know these days. I really don't know. I don't pay attention. I don't care. I don't know. It's whatever. I respect all the communities, please. But just it's hard to keep up.
Except with the Blues community. Fuck you, yeah. Blues.
I hate the Blues. Hate the Blues. But somebody who is on a team I also hate, but I respect the guy, Pekka Rinne on the Predators.
Hey, Pekka Rinne.
He got his 60th shutout. We mentioned last game. Our last podcast that he had played his last game, but he ended up playing one more. He got his 60th shutout and his 369th win. Nice.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, I'm at 59 shutouts and I'm at 368 wins. I got to post a shutout here, boys. But another goalie that got his final farewell. And we kind of talked about this last week, but Jesse, I know you saw this one cause I saw you liked it on Instagram as well. Yes. Let's go over to the screen share again. Why don't we? Listen, this is how I don't have kids. I don't have to edit too much post video. But Jesse, what did you think when you saw Miller and his two parents giving him this hug after his final game? Real emotional moment.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's just we've watched him play for how long and. It's finally come to an end. And, you know, he has his stats to back up his career. And, yeah, very touching, especially to celebrate something like this with your parents. Yeah, that hits differently, for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome to get to see it. 796th NHL game. That's phenomenal. That's pretty cool. Couple more NHL notes before we move along here. Elvis Merzlikins was very upset that they traded Nick Foligno because they'd always do a post-game hug. And this time he was not able to do a hug, so he did a hug kind of with himself. But then after a game or two, since Columbus is letting fans in, there was a little girl along the glass that she made a sign that said, "Elvis, I'm here for the hugs." And let me go ahead and screen share this one as well. This little girl's name is Jocelyn, and she got to do a hug through the glass with Merzlikins after she made that sign. This picture doesn't have the sign, which I'm kind of mad about, but this is pretty cool to see a little fan interaction when, you know, we haven't had some in a very long time. I just wanted to give that. Look at how cute she is. She's just a little sweetheart giving him a hug, making a sign.
I like the comment. I'd want to hug too if I played for Columbus.
Yeah, rest in peace. That's pretty good. But yeah, that's pretty good. Now, something that was probably not super PC. Good push. Holy moly!
Felt that on my fucking chest, bud.
He knew what he knew.
Exactly. I saw him sit up, and I knew exactly what was coming.
Yikes! I think I could smell that over here. Speaking of stank, Pat Foley made some comments, boys. Let me actually go and pull this information. I don't know if any of you guys were watching the game last night.
Did he finally do it? Did he finally say a racial slur?
No.
That is not what this was about. finally say a racial slur. Hold on, it was on my story.
My boss showed me the video from when Chris Johnson on the Titans had like an amazing run, and the announcer was like, "He's got to get away from the cop speed."
Oh my god! What? I'll cut some of this out. Actually, no. You know what? You guys, I'll leave it in here. You guys get to suffer with us. Let me share this.
Jesus.
Before I click on it,
the NFL was a lawless land in like early 2000s.
I miss it.
Here you go, boys. Can you hear this?
Jamal Charles played in the Special Olympics.
No sound.
You just pretend you're him. Don't do word for word what he said.
There's no sound. Wow. Thanks, screen sharing. Real great. Can I screen share the audio?
They probably took the sound down.
No. I can hear it in mine.
Oh.
So Pat Foley, basically his comments, I might as well stop the screen share because, you know, this is just audio. Pat Foley's comments last night were regarding the amount of extra precautions that the Hawks needed to do in order to travel safely in the pandemic this year. And he said, "I'll tell you what, if I had to travel with this team this past year, I might have put a bullet in my head." Yeah, maybe don't say that on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. He later, and I knew this was coming too, he later on in the game came back on and apologized for those comments. Dude, I don't know what you were thinking. And the way they clipped it in the video that I just pulled up, Mark's dying over here. The way they clipped it, he said, "If I had to travel around with this team this year, I might have put a bullet in my head." So it sounded like he was saying how bad the Hawks were, that it was pitiful to watch, which it was. I won't even mention the 4-2 lead we had in the third period in our final game of the season, which we blew, went to overtime, and lost in overtime, which basically sums up our entire season in a nutshell. We did win one of the games they allowed fans back into the United Center, that first game against Dallas. But yeah, Pat, maybe don't say that. Now, Eddie Olczyk has signed a deal with ESPN for next year, a 5-year agreement to go on there, as well as Brian Boucher and Ray Ferraro, a lot of other analysts. So we're going to get
Bobby Boucher.
We're going to get a lot of the same content that we got from NBC. Pat Foley has yet to sign anywhere. Now, I don't know if he, because he is the Blackhawks announcer, just gets to go with whatever channel covers the Blackhawks at that point because he works for our organization. I don't think that's the case. I think he was signed on with NBC. So I think that he would have to sign a deal with whatever channel the Hawks are going to be aired on next year. And I don't think he's done that. After these comments, I don't know, boys. Do you think this is the last time we hear calls from the one and only Foley? Jesse, what do you think?
Nah. He'll stay.
He's had some controversial things in the past. He complained about the NHL schedule and then had to apologize. I think he got fined for that one, which he had every right to. There were some games that were on super late, playoff games even. But, yeah, these comments, putting a bullet in your head.
I'd sign that man to a max contract.
Yes, sir.
Both marks in the same boat. No hesitation. What's that, Jesse?
I said franchise tag him.
Franchise tag.
Are you fucking eating Skittles or something?
M&M's, peanut.
You like your nuts.
You're eating peanut M&M's and drinking Gatorade. Peanut you M&M's psychopath.
Well, a couple more things Blackhawks related that I wanted to touch upon. Some interesting news that came out today. First off, let's talk about another elephant in the room, is that Kane didn't even hit 20 goals this year. I know he's a new father, so that could have played into it. I don't know. DeBrincat, though, what a backhand beauty he scored yesterday. Holy cow. Of course, nothing matters because neither team was making the playoffs, but wow, what a goal. What a breakaway. He hit 32 goals on the season. He tied Austin Matthews. Now, I don't know. I think Austin Matthews still has a couple more games to play, and he'll be definitely playing in the playoffs, so he'll probably pass that. However,
In goals. He tied Austin Matthews in goals.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tied Connor McDavid in goals, 32. Austin Matthews has 40. He's the only one that he wasn't going to catch.
McDavid has 33 now.
Ah, okay. Never mind. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're bumps. We are McDavid, the biggest bumps here.
I flipped him. That's all. McDavid definitely has games in hand because they have to play some games against Vancouver due to all that COVID makeup stuff. Yeah. So let me get to some of the tweets I wanted to cover from earlier today that I saw. Patrick Kane says he will not he's been dealing with a little one. Injury issue that dates back to the bubble last season. He says he's trying to figure that out and hopefully it's nothing too serious. That was a tweet from Charlie Remiliotis, Blackhawks insider. He said he's also disappointed and not happy about his goal production this season, but happy he still found ways to produce. And he said he will not play for Team USA at the 2021 IIHF World Championship, which is a huge thing because Kane has played in as many of them as I can remember. And Stan Bowman, his buddy, is the GM for that. He's the GM for the Olympics. I believe it would carry over as the GM of this for USA as well. Dominik Kubalík will be playing for the Czech Republic. Kirby Doc said he's looking forward to having a full season, so he's probably not playing for Team Canada. Getting back from his wrist injury. Something that I found really weird was Nikita Zadorov will play for Team Russia in 2021, the IIHF World Championship. They must be hurting. I don't know why Russia's hurting, but Zadorov, really? That was a head scratcher. And Brandon Hagel said that he will play for Team Canada in 2021 for the IIHF World Championship. How many times can I say that fast? But the biggest thing by far, the biggest surprise, other than Nikita Zadorov even being in contention for this stuff, is that Kane will not play. Let's go to Jesse for this one too, since he's drinking. I'll get him on the spot. Okay, what do we think? Kane's not playing for international team?
I see it. But I don't know right now.
It is kind of wild. Mark Krasinski, what do you think? Kane not playing.
Hate to see it.
I don't know right now.
I mean, he doesn't want to play. He doesn't have to play. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He's played so much. There's so many people that would play in it, but
let the help the wife out with the baby.
Yeah,
you know, these days. Vivek, you got anything you want to chime in?
I mean, I don't blame him. He's getting older now, so like, why risk possibly having an injury going into a season? And on top of that, the kid, like, not so much like help the wife with the kid, like, yeah, help the wife, but also like, you get to spend the whole off season with your kid.
Yeah.
Knowing that Definitely. You're not going to see him pretty much at all once the season starts again. So like, I don't blame him.
Right, right. One last note I wanted to cover, which was very interesting to see this. I don't know when this kind of thing has ever happened. This year, we mentioned on the podcast that the Chicago Wolves would be a split AHL franchise, meaning some of their prospects would go up to become Nashville Predators. Some of their prospects would go up to become Carolina Hurricanes. And the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators are meeting each other in the first round of the playoffs this year, which is very weird. So they're playing each other in the playoffs and they share a farm team. This also happened with Tampa and Florida. So both first round matchups in the Central Division share a farm team. The Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning share the Syracuse Crunch this year. So kind of an odd thing to see. I would imagine a couple of those players are going to play guys that they've played with in the AHL. So I don't know. So kind of interesting. And we have some ties to all of this. Jesse and I were on the Canes last year. We obviously, I mean, if we were going to pull for somebody in that series, it'd be the Canes. Also, because I think collectively all of us as Hawks fans don't like the Predators. Don't like that the Predators got in, because I would kind of rather see Dallas in there so that we could somehow maybe have a Tampa Bay versus Dallas rematch of the Stanley Cup final. But hey, now that would have to happen if Tampa Bay gets out of the first round. Tampa Bay, my second favorite team, going up against Mark's second favorite team in Florida, the Panthers. That's going to be a hell of a series. So a lot of weird connections going on with this Central Division. Now, I did want to talk about the playoff matchups. This segment will really only pertain to me and Mark Krasminski, because we made some predictions at the start of the season, and we did pretty well. So for the Central Division, and the way I did the points for everybody at home, I'll save everybody the headache of the math. If you picked a team to make the playoffs and they made the playoffs, I gave you 1 point. If you also had what position 1 through 4 that they were going to finish in correct, I gave you 2 points for that. So that's possible 3 points. And if you had a matchup correct, even if you had them as the 2 and 3 teams playing each other and they finished 1 and 4, that's still a correct matchup because they're still going to be playing each other in the first round. I gave you 3 points for that. So, long story short, in every division, you have a chance to earn 18 points if you get everything correct. And if you got everything correct, I would give you an extra 2 bonus points and just round it up, call it even, make it 20. Nobody did that. But so that's, you know, 20 possible points for each division. That gives you 80 points. Mark and I didn't do so bad. Mark finished with 30 out of a possible 80 points. I finished with 25 out of possible 80 points. And that sounds pretty low, but we did pretty well. I'm going to go through what we picked. Mark had Carolina winning the division, and they did. Shout out Hurricanes. Mark had Tampa Bay coming in second, which they almost did, but they kind of struggled towards
Florida. The season. Fuck you, Florida.
They screwed that
who
up.
Predicted so Tampa Florida in first place?
They didn't get first place, though. Who predicted Hurricanes first place?
Yeah, that'd be this, that'd
who
be
cashed
this guy.
Out on it?
That'd be this guy. So good call there, Mark. You also had Tampa Bay finishing in the playoffs. You got a point for that. Nashville, you had in third. They came in fourth, but they made the playoffs. You had Dallas. They didn't make it. I also had Dallas, but my picks were Tampa Bay and Carolina. So I had it flipped from you. I should have flipped them back. I had Dallas in third. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs. And I had the Florida Panthers. You'll be happy to know, Mark. I had them in fourth. So I had Tampa Bay in first and Florida in fourth. They came in second and third, so they will be playing each other in the first round. So I got that matchup correct. Going into the East, we struggled with the East, and rightfully so. The East we knew was going to be kind of a gong show going in. We both had Philadelphia taking the division. Yikes. Fuck, that's dude, not they on came us.
Out so good.
That's not on us. That's on Philly. That's their fault.
They played so well, but fucking took a shit.
You had Washington finishing in second, and they did. So not only did you have them making the playoffs, you had them in the right spot. That's a huge boost for you. You had Pittsburgh in third. They made the playoffs. They actually took the division. And Boston finished fourth. You had Boston – Boston third. Is in the playoffs. They finished third. You had them in fourth. So you get a point for that one too. I had Philly, the New York Islanders, and the Rangers. I don't know what I was thinking with half those teams. So obviously I didn't get any of the matchups right in this division, but I also had Boston. So I got 2 points out of that with New York and Boston. The North division was pretty damn easy to figure out. I don't know what Mark Levesque's doing down there, but it's a sideshow. Sideshow, Bob. We both had Toronto and Edmonton finishing first and second. So we both got the points for them making the playoffs and in the right spots. Those are pretty much toss-ups. And fun fact, we both had Montreal in fourth. So we both got that positioning correct, Montreal making the playoffs correct, and the matchup between Toronto and Montreal first round correct. Little did we know, we had the original six Canadian teams matched up to play each other in the first round, and that's what we're actually going to get in real life. Little did I know I had the Battle of Florida. I didn't notice that when we were picking teams. For your third place team in that division, you had Calgary. I had Vancouver.
So close.
Yeah, so close. I think I was a little bit closer with the Vancouver. not to pump my own tires, but it could have happened if they didn't get COVID. Yeah. I don't know. But also, Winnipeg? Nobody saw Winnipeg coming through. Now for the West. Yeah, you should have taken them because they're your Winnipeg Jets. We didn't know they were going to be getting PLD.
I know.
Pierre-Luc Dubois.
The boys.
For the West, you had Vegas finishing first. And that was what happened. You had Colorado finishing second. That also happened. So you got 3 points on each of those. You had St. Louis in third. They made the playoffs, but they came in fourth. If you would have just switched Minnesota and St. Louis, you would have had a perfect division right there.
But it was a blowout. Wild played way too well the last fucking 2 months.
Just because of that switch, you missed the chance on getting extra points on the matchups and the extra points on St. Louis and Minnesota's positioning. I did all right for this division. I had 5 points. I had Colorado and Vegas. So I had those switched. I should have put Vegas up top, but I'm still thinking that Colorado was a favorite to win the cup, and they're kind of on that edge for me. I don't know quite well. I picked Arizona to come in third. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking they would finally figure things out, but I should have at least put them at fourth. But I think I had a little bit too much Blackhawks fandom in me. I put St. Louis in fourth, which they did come in fourth, and they're making the playoffs, so get a little bonus points on that. But just goes to show you that, you know, as much as our podcast is kind of a joke, we kind of know what we're talking about, you know? Speaking of knowing what you're talking about, we have an expert here on vintage clothing. So can we get a little vintage
ad? Yeah, no problem. Read? So, come on. And first of all, it's I prefer mine, so does Mark, retro. So
by all means, please.
Good, Mark. Talk about your retro clothes.
He's so pissed right now. He's like, I'm never coming back to this podcast.
I know where you live, and I know your guns aren't loaded.
I'll just load them now. Thanks.
You have probably like 3 weeks to actually buy shit from my Depop shop. Because soon I'm going to be selling at the Allstate Flea Market, so everything's going to be taken down from the Depop, and it's all going to be sold in person. You also have the option, if you're in the area, to go to the Wolf Flea Market at the Allstate Arena. But probably at the end of this month, once they open, I'm not going to be there the first weekend, but I'm probably going to be there every weekend after that. So for a while, the Depop page isn't going to have anything on it. So if you want to find stuff, find it now or come in person. I still have 3 different sales going on right now on the Depop. Some stuff is 15% off, some stuff's 20% off, and some stuff is 25% off. So, and new stuff goes up every week.
Awesome. Mark, when is that Allstate Arena just for the fans and also for us if we want to help out.
I believe they open, I think, after Memorial Day. Let me check.
Sundays, they're already open.
I don't think they're open yet.
I drove past them not long ago.
Well, we have a new vintage expert over here.
You mean flea market expert?
Flea market, sorry.
I love Wolf's Flea Market.
Your wolves have fleas? You should get them checked out by a vet, bro.
I drove past it 2 days ago.
We're confirming facts right now, folks. Bear with us real quick.
I physically saw it.
Yeah, they're open. But because of my current work, full-time job, like, schedule, I won't be able to be there until after, like, the end of this month.
Are you saying that this podcast doesn't supply your total income and pay the bills?
No.
I don't know, bro. Not. I don't know. This is my – I'm going to quit, and this is going to be my full-time job running this podcast. We're so popular, bro. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Get your vintage, not retro, gear today and fast, or go to the flea markets. I think I might help out Mark with a couple flea markets this summer. It sounds like a fun time. Get your hands on some vintage clothing. He's the best in the business that we know of, so we won't talk about that. You we won't know. Talk about that. Yeah, that we know. So, you know, if you want the hookup, this is the guy over here. I don't know where you're going to be on the final production. Anyways, let's jump into some SHL news just quickly. I am coming off of the IR. I hope to be back out on the rink on Friday. I'll be taking it easy. It was not a torn meniscus. It was just a sprained meniscus, pulled, whatever you want to call it. You can't break a meniscus. It's just kind of the cartilage that's in there.
I don't have any.
Not really a muscle. Yeah, you don't have any. So I've joined your club now, at least in one knee. Mike Cross, the captain of the California Golden Seals for this summer, is currently out with a little bit of tendonitis. He expects to be back in a couple of weeks, not day to day, more like week to week. But he does expect himself to be ready for game time. In other SHL news, I just want to let the boys know that we have a bartender for the post-game party. More news will be coming out on the party just for people who are invited, but this is a public podcast, so I'm not going to be spilling all the beans about that. We have an official bartender, and she's got skills. I'll just say that. That's what I got for SHL news. Before we go into some hitting the mark with Mark Krasminski, I just want to let everybody know that you should get on over to No Name Hockey. If you don't know by now, Talking Pylons is brought to you by No Name Hockey Company. Are you tired of just paying extra just to have the same stick as the duster on the bench next to you? Well, now there's an easy and affordable way to customize your gear and make yourself stand out without sacrificing quality or technology in your sticks. In fact, No Name Hockey sticks are just as advanced as the other top-of-the-line sticks and at a fraction of the cost. They have all the same curves and flexes as well as customizable grips and colors, and the pinnacle of the No Name Hockey customization power is that they give you the option to make it yours by printing your name and number on the stick. I am an official No Name Hockey ambassador, and I'm always using my newest white and black taper cane curve 67 flex, so P88 curve, just to be technical, with a traditional grip, sandpaper finish blade. This is my third stick from No Name Hockey, and they just keep getting better with each new stick. And I did want to mention, because I don't think I did this ad when Jesse was in the actual podcast last week, I did buy a fourth stick from them. It's a surprise stick, and it was Jesse's idea. Shout out to him. Yep. Kudos. We're going through with that idea, and I can't wait till this beautiful thing gets here. It looks so sexy. So, yeah, I will definitely be posting about that when it gets here. It's for the boys. Just don't take my word for it, though. Go over to – what's going on with my – what is going on here? Oh, there we go. Technical difficulties while an ad read's going on. Jesus, what is going on? So get on over to No Name Hockey. Just don't take my word for it. Get your new twig today or even some of your gear. You can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the @NoNameHockey. as well, and No Name Hockey. Respect all, fear no one, make a name. So we have got some updated news on Mark Kuzminski's hitting the mark. He's been on fire.
Inbred sons of bitches. Last weekend, as for my picks, finished 13-4. Listen, you fuckers. I'm good. And that was before going to Vegas. So Vegas wasn't... I broke even in Vegas because a lot of alcohol.
Even better than losing it all.
So this, I got picks for Friday and Saturday because Sunday's games have to be determined. Friday, only one game, Toronto-Winnipeg. Toronto winning 60 minutes, and I'm taking the under. Easy peasy. Then we have the 15th, which is a Saturday.
Is that Edmonton, playoffs?
I think it's the start of the North, yeah. Edmonton versus Vancouver.
Oh, no, that's still the
Yeah, they have one more round, one more week.
One more
game, Edmonton versus Vancouver. Give me the Oilers to win in 60 minutes. The -1.5, Edmonton, and the under. I don't think Vancouver's going to score, but the under, I'm not going to take it. But
Saturday, I believe, starts the playoffs too.
Yeah, and then the 15th, we have Boston versus Washington.
Is the 15th Saturday?
I don't know. And that one, I'm just taking the Capitals to win. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, so playoff hockey gambling, boys, it's time.
This is where the money comes. You all better listen. Every day, if you want daily picks, any sport, just... message me, message anyone, and get your picks, and we'll give them to you. So I do NBA, NHL, MLB.
We may have to start getting into that once hockey season dies down. Playoffs is going to be huge, of course, for gambling. But then once it kind of dies down, we've only got cup games to gamble on. We could probably start throwing in some MLB.
And a lot of futures. The one future I have right now is the Bears to win the division.
All right.
At plus bad. 2 at plus it's a 280. Weak division. Well, if Aaron Rodgers leaves,
that's the only thing I could see.
It's close. He wants to go. He said, "Fuck this place," but they can't let him. How do you let him go? How do you let the reigning MVP go?
Actually, the only thing else that I could see possibly ruining that for you is if the Vikings actually be the Vikings, but they kind of fell apart last year. So.
No, the Bears. With Justin Fields, the Bears last
year. You trust Kirk Cousins as your quarterback.
You're fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you live in Minnesota, fuck you, I guess. I don't know.
Minnesota, the land of losing and choking.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But when the playoff bracket comes out of, I think we'll all have our official playoff brackets and picks to give you.
Yeah. I know the playoffs start Saturday. I was hoping to kind of get to see you guys and record an episode with another guest or just ourselves before or on Saturday. So we'll be able to give our picks before we see anything that happens in the playoffs. By the time that episode drops, stuff may have happened in the playoffs, but fans, we just want to let you know that we won't have preconceived knowledge of like who won game one or anything. We will be making those picks beforehand. I gotta talk to you guys about that too before that happens. But where was I gonna go? Oh, I was gonna say a urinating tree. I don't know if you guys watch him on YouTube. He's pretty funny. He was talking about how every Minnesota team sucks. So all the Minnesota teams have like a W in their name. The Twins, the Wild, not the Vikings.
Wolves.
But the Timberwolves. He took all of their logos and took the W's out of the logos. And he didn't put anything in there. He just left it blank. He's like, "You'll get these back when you actually do something." I was like, this is so great. So every time now that he, you know, does like a preview of the MLB season and he gets to the Twins, it says T-ins. There's nothing in between. So speaking of which, they're playing the Sox tonight, but we won't get into baseball talk. I'm hoping the Sox can keep on this tear. And
win. It's tied 3-3. I'll let you know.
I saw that Grandal hit a 3-run homer, baby. Whew. Clutch, but it's still early. So to wrap this thing up, I just want to let you guys know that Talking Pylons is brought to you by Rosie O'Reilly's Irish Pub and Grub, located at O North 131 Gary Avenue in Wheaton, Illinois. Rosie's is your game day destination for all Chicago sports teams. These guys went to the School of Greatness, so you know the atmosphere is killer. Best of all, they're an Irish pub, so you know that they have the liquor game on lock. And if you gander that I'd be a wee bit racist, just know that I'm a quarter Irish, so you can kiss me arse. I think that accent gets better every time, especially when I'm not sick or coughing up a lung. If you happen to catch the Jofa Dusters there, drinks are on me. Actually, no, drinks are on you guys now because you're disrupting me during my ad read with all this negative body language.
Like this?
Exactly. Rosie O'Reilly's just installed new gambling machine. Do you want me to run this ad for your place, bro? Oh, okay, thanks. That's what I thought. Rosie O'Reilly's just installed new gambling machines, and for a limited time, they have Busch Light.
Oh, so what? All you Busch Lattes.
Busch Latte. All you college degenerates that just got home, they're there. Get over there. Bring your mask. Have some fun in a safe, friendly environment. And this is not that pigeon hockey player, Ryan O'Reilly, that squeaked into the playoffs. No, no, no. This is Rosie O'Reilly's, located just south of the Cosley Zoo and Geneva Road at O North 131 Gary Avenue in Wheaton, Illinois. I tried to ignore it as long as I could.
I was hoping you had the mask on when you came back.
Rosie O'Reilly's, sleeveless shirts are a no-no, shoes are a must. Try to keep a civil tongue. Please refrain from lust, which is what these boys are doing over here. Enjoy responsibly. Well, that about wraps it up, boys. I don't want to see any more of that. Any last words from any of you? Jesse,
I'm all right.
I found that video. It took me some digging, bro.
They took down the sound. It pissed me off.
They still have it on YouTube, and I screen recorded it, so we have it forever. Jesse, any last words? Bad. Thank you for jumping on with us again. I don't know if those were words, but that was his last. Mark the Truth, welcome back. Anything else you want to say?
Bye.
Those weren't words either, really, except for bye. Mark Krusminski, Vegas boy. Any outside, last words?
Make this money.
Yeah, baby. Jesus. All right, boys. Another great episode. Thank you again for all you fans for joining us. We love you. And catch us next week.